Miss Lily's got a good dress on today. Roll tie. Same as Sam. Couple places this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start there. And then 1 Samuel 17. Ephesians chapter number 6. And then 1 Samuel 17. We started talking last week about the fact that we are overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to get down, starting in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So all the way back in verse number 11, the Bible teaches us to put on the whole armor of God. But why should we put on the armor of God? Listen, if we're going to be overcomers, we talked last week about some things we need to do. We need to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But we're very much encouraged here and commanded here to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And skip down to verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to" what? "Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." This morning, as you're turning over to 1 Samuel 17, I want to talk this morning about how we're going to stand in the wicked day, and how we can look back at an individual that all of us know. 1 Samuel 17 should ring a bell in all of your minds. It's David and Goliath. And you know, but how was David really able to stand that day? We hear the story about how mighty it was for him to go out and defeat this giant. But listen, how many of us would be willing to do what David did? David understood something that most of us know in our hearts to be true, but not only did he know it, he applied it to his life. David understood that the armor of God was the single most important thing that he could take to him within any battle that would ever come his way. So what is the armor of God? I'm just going to briefly go over them. "I must put on the whole armor of God. My loins should be girt about with truth." With truth, that's the belt of truth. Truth must be the foundation that holds us up. The breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness must be what we guard our heart with. What about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? We must protect our feet when we go to battle. What battle should we be going into? In other words, where should we allow our feet to take us? The Bible commands us that we are to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel. We need to be soul winning in our churches and in our communities. The shield of faith. You having the shield of faith shows the devil that you are trusting the Lord in your battle. The helmet of salvation. We must understand in our minds that we are saved, we're born again, we're blood bought, and know that our salvation is in the Lord. Never forget that fact. The sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. Let Him be the sword you choose to fight your battles. And always remember to pray through your battles, trusting that the armor of God can and will get you through. Over in 1 Samuel 17, we read a story I just told you about David and Goliath. One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible is probably the most familiar Bible story that you could ever teach. If you've ever taught Sunday school, I'm sure you've taught this, and this might be one of the first lessons you ever learned in Sunday school. But let's look at some things this morning that we can learn from young David as he prepares to go out and fight this battle. Start down in verse number 8, 1 Samuel 17, verse number 8. The Bible says, And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. This is Goliath standing before the whole army of Israel. Imagine every man in Israel is standing there. Every soldier, even Saul himself, is standing there listening to this Philistine mock the armies of the living God, is what David called it. And what did they do? Goliath said, If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. I kind of take it as Goliath is one of these dudes that didn't make a bet he didn't know he could win. You see how he's talking right here? He's pretty confident that all these heathens out here that are scared to death of him, and by the way, if you've ever been in a battle, a football game, a basketball game, whatever, a boxing match, if you ever watch professional sports, you can see when there's some intimidation taking effect from the opponent sometimes. I mean, you rock a kid's world last night. I'll give you a good example. And it don't matter how big you are. And I'm bragging on my son right now because I thought it was awesome that he did this. There's this stud on Highland Homes team. This kid's like 6'1", I mean, 150 pounds, something like that. Kelly's all of about 5'2", and 88 pounds, snapping the ball. He's center. And this kid's playing middle linebacker. And so he started shooting up the A-gap pretty hard, blitzing, blitzing, blitzing. I said, okay. I said, Kelly, here's what you're going to do. Remember the chop block I showed you? You're going to take your helmet, and the next time he comes through that hole, you're going to put your helmet right in his knees, and you're going to use his momentum to take him out, and I promise you he won't come up that hole again. He chopped him down so hard that kid's head hit the ground. Oh, I mean, he went head over heels. And I, as a dad, was super excited. But you know what that kid did? He got up complaining, that's a chop block. The ref said, sir, you can do that inside the tackles. I said, Kelly, he won't do it again. The rest of the night, you know what he did? He backed off. Listen, we can't be scared of our battles. These are some of the things I love about David that we're going to go in here to. But I love, you know, Goliath here definitely had a means of like some pride in himself. You know, if you beat me, we'll serve you. Goliath had no intentions on losing that battle. He knew in his heart he was going to defeat anybody out there, but he didn't see David. Verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were what, church? And greatly afraid. Doesn't that sound like the local church today? Doesn't that sound like the local church today when the world is trying to infiltrate what God said is right and what God said is wrong, and the world is trying to say, hey, it doesn't matter what your God said, we're telling you what we're doing is right, and if you don't like it, tough luck. It's like get on board or take a hike, right? Listen, you know what time it is, church? It's time for us to stand up and be like David and say, is there not a cause? Church, there is a cause this morning. The Philistines are trying to infiltrate. The world is trying to infiltrate our churches. And listen, the ultimate goal of the devil is to take as many people down to hell with him as possible. The devil cannot change his final destination. Oh, but he can certainly encourage others to. And it's our job to stand in the gap against the wrong. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were afraid and dismayed, or they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Skip down to verse number 14. David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. Look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight the battle, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of his carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Now you got to picture David here. David had a full-time job. He was a shepherd. And listen, some things that brought that the Lord showed me a long time ago about this passage of Scripture wasn't just the fact that David took his opportunity to get to the battlefield. He was told to go down and take some food to his brothers, keep them energized, right? But see, what I like about David is, you know, like most of us, if there's something really in the back of our minds that we want to be doing, but we just can't quite do it yet, you know, we're looking at everybody else, we're kind of jealous that my big brother's down there fighting the battle and he's running and hiding behind the rocks and, you know, little brother's back there, let me at him. And here's David's opportunity to go. But look, he did not forget his full-time job. You ever paid attention where it says right there in verse number 20, and he rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper? You know what he did? He prepared for someone to take care of his other job. I really like that trait of David, that he didn't just say, you know what, these sheep will be just fine. That's what most of us would have done, right? We'd be like, I'm going to the battlefield, forget about the sheep. If they're there when I get back, great. If not, oh well. No. David made sure that his job was taken care of. And then read on down in verse number 22. David left his carriage in the hand of what? The keeper. It was important that his father's stuff was taken care of. David did not just forget about his full-time job. Verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, church, here's what we got to remember. The Bible says all the men of Israel fled. King Saul was on the battlefield that day. Was King Saul a man? He most certainly was. You know where he was? He was tucking tail and running the other way. He was scared to death of this Philistine. This is another proof that David was not yet a man, because the Bible said that all the men fled. David was not yet what God referred to as a man. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, I love this part right here, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. I like to sometimes use my imagination with the Bible. I don't know about you guys, but imagine King Saul coming out and saying, okay, I'm not going to battle this dude. No way. And remember, Saul was head and shoulders above every man in Israel. He was the biggest dude out there. I mean, right under, I don't know how compared to Goliath, how big he was, but he was a pretty big dude. But here's what he said. He said, look, if any of you will just come out and fight and defeat this Philistine, here's what I'll do. I'll give you great riches. How's it sound, church, to know that, hey, if you do this, you accomplish it, you win the battle, you'll be rich forever. That sounds pretty good, right? And then all the single dudes, here's what Saul said, look, I'll give you my daughter. Can you imagine? All these dudes are like, nope. He must have had a pretty ugly daughter. That's what I think. See, I like to use my imagination. I'm like, obviously she wasn't pretty, or all those dudes would have been nipping at a bit. Let me at her. I'll take that giant. But no, she must have been hideous. I got a bad sense of humor sometimes. But then, to top it all off, not only am I going to make you rich, and I'm going to give you my daughter, but I'm going to make your house free in Israel. You know what that means? No taxes for the rest of your life. How many of you would like that? Maybe a pretty girl, a whole lot of money, and no taxes forever. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'd have ran out there and fought that joker. But would I? In my mind, the problem is, it's all about me. See, David didn't think about himself here. David had already started remembering, you know, I remember a time whenever there was a bear, and the Lord delivered me out of the paws of a bear and out of the paws of a lion. And David started remembering, well, man, like, why aren't these men standing up and fighting for what's right? And I don't think David did it for the girl. I don't think he did it for the money. And I don't think he did it for the tax-free either. But look at this. Verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Look at the end of verse 29. What did David say? Is there not a cause? Listen, in your life sometimes you're going to get to a point where all these Israelite men are. It's going to seem like all hope is lost. Standing before you is a battle that you in your own mind cannot figure out how to win. And you're going to think, defeat, defeat, defeat. And you're going to start thinking of all the repercussions of the defeat. Pretty soon, I'm going to be serving the Philistines. Pretty soon, I'm going to be serving the world. I have no strength in and of myself to win this battle. But church, is there not a cause to stand strong and to stand firm on what God said? Verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy," what's the next word, church? Wow. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Here's something else I like about David. He didn't stand up to Saul and bow up and say, "I'll go fight that Philistine. I'll take your daughter too. I'll take your money. And go ahead and write the tax exempt card for my family." You know what he said, Saul? "Let no man's heart fail because of him. He's just an uncircumcised Philistine. Saul, thy servant will go and fight." Hey, church, what do you look at yourself as? Somebody that's above everybody else? You know, Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant. What would happen if we would have that mentality of ourselves? "Lord, I'm not worried about everybody else. Thy servant will go and fight." You know what David was saying? He said, "Look, I have a God in heaven who's counting on me. And I'm not worried about what you say, Saul. I'm not worried about what all the other men say. All I want to do is please the Lord." How can we do that? You know what we can say? "Thy servant. Lord, I'll do it." And trust that God is with you. Verse 33, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a" what, church? "And he a man of war from his youth." Now, most normal guys, this is what really sparks up the integrity inside of you when someone tells you you cannot do something. How many are like that? Am I the only one? I'm like, go ahead and tell me I can't do it. Now I'm going to make it my mission to do it. Okay, I promise. I might fail, but I'm going to try. Verse 34, David said unto Saul, "Thy" what, church? "Servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him." Could you imagine Saul's face right now? This little guy is for real. He is not scared of this battle. Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Hey, church, listen, when's the last time you were so confident going into your battle? It wasn't like, "Well, God, I'm going into this thing. I hope you got this." No, no, no. David said, "He will deliver me." Can I tell you something? If you're saved in here this morning, he's already delivered you. You can't do, the worst thing that could happen to you is you die and go to heaven. That's horrible to think about, right? Look, I'm excited about going to heaven. Like I said before, I don't want to go today. But if the Lord sees fit for me to be there today, hey, I'm excited. I'm okay about that. I'm fine with that. Because he knows all things. But look, what if going into our battle, it wasn't like, "Man, I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? Let me call my friends. What would they do? What would the world do? What would my boss do? What would my wife do?" No, 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 no. The Lord will deliver me. Confidence in the Lord. How much confidence do you have in the Lord this morning? We are overcomers. David, "Go." And Saul said, "Just go, man. And may the Lord be with you." Verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor. I like this part too. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. Hey, remember back in the book of Ephesians what we talked about, the whole armor of God? I think David had already prepared himself with that whole armor that God had already given him. I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David. The man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a what, church? Youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Look at what David said. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Look, church, when people say things to us to offend us, I promise you it's not my natural reaction to turn to godly things. But David didn't let all that stuff that giant just said to him bother his mind. He said, go ahead, come at me with everything you got, big boy, because I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord, and he's already going to deliver you into my hand. David had no doubts. He never doubted God. Let me ask you this, church. Can anyone raise your hand in here and say that God has ever failed you? Let me tell you something. There's no need to doubt him now. No need to doubt him now. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hey, I wonder if that's our testimony at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. When people come to Red Level, Alabama, they say, hey, don't mess with them folks up there. They got something different going on. We know because of their testimony, there is a God, and he's doing great and mighty things which thou knowest not, like Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, when you go down there, you're going to see. You're going to have no doubts there's a God. Is that our testimony as a church? Or are we just like everybody else, just falling into the failures, falling into the temptations, falling in our trials, counting on the world, counting on ourselves, not trusting that the Lord has already delivered us? You ever think about that? You're never going to go through a trial that God hasn't already given you a way to escape. That's biblical. All we have to do is trust him. Look at verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is what, church? The Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I like it that David didn't go after the young dudes first. See, me, I'd have been like, let me get my feet wet a little bit. Let me kill a couple of these easy dudes, right? How many kills can I get? No. This dude went straight for the giant. What's your thought this morning? Take the easy road or forget all those guys and go to the problem? The problem is the giant. David wanted to defeat the giant. Look what he said. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now look, again, Bible imagination here. I don't know how hard it would take to throw a stone. I've never been good with a sling. I can use a slingshot now, but probably not be a good shot like this. But it would take an awful lot of force to sink a stone into a man's forehead. But you know what I think David had? I think God came out onto the battlefield that day and stood behind old Goliath, kind of like this, with the big hand, right? And David's out there, and David's ringing that thing up. And he throws that stone, and that stone's coming, and God just says, whoosh! Imagine that. Could you imagine? What if David saw the Lord back there? Again, Bible imagination. The Bible says the stone sunk in his forehead. And most of us, when we get stunned, you know we're going to stumble backwards. But Goliath fell face first to the earth. There's no other explanation. It might not have been how I just showed you. But I got a pretty good imagination when it comes to this stuff. And it's fun to think and to know that God had a part in that. It was not David. It was God that delivered David that day. He fell on his face to the earth. We're almost done. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistines and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Look at this part. This is awesome. If you like blood and guts, this is a book for you. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. Remember, he told him, he said, today I'm going to take your head from you. And I'm sure Goliath's like, you don't even have a sword, pal. Oh, no, but you do. And I'm going to use your sword to take your head. Look at this. Took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was what, church? They fled. You remember all the way back in verse number 24, all the men of Israel fled? Remember that? But look at this. Now their champion's dead and they fled. What does the Bible say the devil will do if we resist him? Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from thee. Look, you know what David did that day? He resisted the devil on that battlefield. He did not let the devil, and I believe the devil was about Goliath. I believe it today. The devil's in this world. He's the prince in power and the ruler of darkness of this world. Listen, I believe if we resist, they have to flee. Look, David killed the giant when he was dead. You know what they did? They fled. They said, this joker ain't playing around. He's got somebody on his side that we don't want no part of. And they fled. But church, let's finish reading this. And the men of Israel and the Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheram, and even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Could you imagine David walking off that battlefield that day? This joker must have had a big head. I mean, he's 9'6" tall, something like that. I mean, that's a big head. But could you imagine him walking off the battlefield that day? What's that, David? Oh, that's Goliath's head. Where are you taking that? Back to Jerusalem. I'm going to show Saul what happened. I'm going to go tell everybody, is there not a cause? Could you just picture him? Is there not a cause? Just posing with a head right there. I got a bad mind, don't I? But church, that's what the Bible says. He took the head back to Jerusalem. You know what he wanted? He wanted everyone to know. And guess what? He didn't take that head saying, look what I've done. You know what he wanted everybody to know? There is a God in Israel. And he will deliver me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for